shepherd and guardian of our souls. Well, at least that's true for me. I don't know about you, but I need a shepherd and guardian for my soul. How about you? Do you believe it? Do you really believe that you need a shepherd and guardian for your soul? I mean, who here is perfect? Raise your hand. Oops. We need. So let's try that again. We need a shepherd and guardian of our souls. You ever seen sheep? You ever smelled sheep? You ever heard sheep? Ugh. They wander around. They eat the grass down to nothing. They make the most nasty smelling poo. The only thing that smelled worse was penguin poo. And they're loud and noisy. Bah! And they'll go astray for anything. They look cute in picture books, but they're not so cute in person. They need shepherds. And you know what? So do we. Because sometimes we are a noisy lot. We wander astray. We eat down to the nothing. And sometimes we don't necessarily smell very good either. Oh, my friends, a shepherd and guardian for our souls. The other day, I was flicking channels, and I came across some of the religious stations, and one of the television evangelists that I ran across was up there preaching, "You've got to learn to live for righteousness, sister. You've got to stop sinning, brother. You've got to be righteous and be perfect and stop doing those things that God doesn't want you to do." And his congregation were, "Amen, amen, preach it, brother. Let them have it. Let them have it, brother." And I sat there like an idiot and just kind of watched, getting more and more uncomfortable as his message went along, because he started to go through a recitation of the people who were sinners and the things that they did. And I was noticing all the things he was enumerating were stuff that he didn't want you to think he didn't do. You got to be righteous. And then I picked up today's reading in the lectionary and I looked at 1 Peter and I saw, live for righteousness. I don't know about you, but when I hear a preacher start preaching about living for righteousness and they start coming out with a judgmental sermon like that, I start heading for the door. Goodbye. I don't want to hear that. See you later. Yeah, right. Righteousness. Your definition, maybe, but is it God's definition? What is the definition of righteousness? What does it mean to live for righteousness? Let's take a look at what Jesus did. That's an amazing idea. Let's see what Jesus did. Wow, what a concept. How did Jesus live righteously? How did Jesus live for righteousness? When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Wow. When abused, you don't abuse. When suffering, you don't threaten in return. What a concept. I mean, the world's golden rule is do unto others before they do unto you. Jesus' golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yes, as you would have them do unto you. What a concept. Jesus, as a model of righteousness, in how he behaved and treated others, and how he behaved and related to God, because it says he entrusted himself to the one, that's God, who judges justly. The word righteousness, here's your Greek lesson for the day. You just should have known you weren't going to get out of it without this. The word is dikaiosune. Now, I'll give you the easier version of it. Dikaio. You can say that word. Dikaio. Again, dikaio. Very good. Dikaio. Literally, it means to cause someone or something to be in a proper or right relationship with someone or something else. That came right out of the dictionary for dikaio. To cause someone or something to be in a proper or right relation with someone or something else. To be in a right relation so that you line up with that someone or something else. These chairs are all dikaioed, to make it into an English word. They're lined up with each other. When you are working on a word processor like Microsoft Word, you've got a way to justify your margins. Left margin, right margin, center margin, top margin, bottom margin. Some people like to have margins all over the place. Other people need to have margins lining up. And some people are left margin people. You know, maybe that's price. Some people are right margin people. I don't know, maybe that's Dick. Some people are center margin people. I don't know, maybe that's Hal. And some people are all over the place. Maybe that's Carol. But you got your margins, and when you're writing, you need to set them up. And then there are some people who have to have left margin and right margin and center margin be perfect. Maybe that's Tom. Margins all over the place, margins left, margins right. But when you just click that button that says justify margins, what does it do? It lines up that margin so that it follows the rule at the top of the page and on the sides, so that the text looks neat and clean and in conformity with the rule. Doesn't matter what the text says, it's lined up. That's a use of the word dikaio. The words are lined up. They are placed into a right, correct, meaningful relationship with the others. Jesus practiced dikaio by living in a right relationship with his fellow human beings and with God. And he calls us as our good shepherd. He calls us as the guardian of our souls. He calls us to accept this relationship with God and with others. Now, Greg, that's not easy. It's easier if you have a list of do-dos and don't-dos. It's easy to have a list of the things that you're not supposed to do and the things that you are supposed to do. And much rather have, I see you laughing over there, much rather have a list of don't do's and do do, don't you? We're there. Usually more don'ts than do, but it's easier to have a nice, confined list, so long as you're the one making the list and not someone else. I'd rather have God's list for me. And God's list is described in the way in which Jesus lived. And in the fact that Jesus came and presented himself in our place and took the punishment we deserve for our going astray and died for us, that we need never fear death. He came as the good shepherd to gather us in and to guard us and to show us a way of life that will lead us not just through this life, but on into the next. We have indeed a blessing in the Good Shepherd. But it's not easy. The life of faith, trusting in the calling to treat others according to Christ's rule and to relate to God who judges justly, is not easy. Especially not when you're someone like me who enjoys going over the boundaries quite a bit. The kind of guy who sits in the back of the chapel and seminary and goes through the hymnal and changes the words. I was sinking deep in sin. Whoopee! That's me. I had too much fun doing that kind of stuff. So the lines are not always easy. But God has lines for you. Guidelines, boundaries, a pathway for you too. And it's not always easy. Now, where's the practicality of this? When I was in seminary, I took a break and went off to the monastery. And I was hoping and praying I could find a place where there would be good guidelines and boundaries for me. And I'm going to tell you, those monks know how to set boundaries. But one of those monks was a crazy fellow by the name of Rusty. Rusty was weird. In fact, we like to say about Rusty that he was lighter than air. He was so strange. And you ought to see him drive, because he didn't believe in, I don't know, red lights. He drove like a wild man. And we were on our way down into downtown Boston to do some work over at the Church of the Advent, some mission work for some of the local people in the community. And we were on the highways, and if you've ever been on a highway up in Massachusetts, and especially in Boston, you know that's a nightmare, as if it's not here. And anyway, we were on our way down through on the highway, and this big 18-wheeler comes flying up from behind. And before he got past us, he starts to pull over into our lane, shoving us off the bridge and into the Charles River. And, you know, Rusty slams on the brakes, blangs his horn, whips the van around, a van full of about 18 monks, whips the van around, then gets into the other lane beside him and goes flying up beside the driver. And he gets up parallel with the driver, honks his horn, looks up at the driver. Driver and his companion look down at him, and we're all going, "Aah!" And Rusty does this. I gotta be careful. Rusty does this. These two fingers, both of them are up. And we're all sitting there going, "We expected the worst." And Rusty shocked us by expressing Christ's presence and love to that guy who nearly threw us off the road. And I don't know about you, but I might very well have said something. You ever been cut off and you didn't go, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" You're inside your car, air conditioning going, stereo going. There are three or four car lengths ahead of you flying down the road. They can't hear you. Why are you yelling? Oh, my friends, it is so easy to stumble over those lines. And I dare say most of us, if not all of us, do it. Instead of showing the American eagle, or whatever you want to call it, Rusty showed the sign of the cross. We are called to show, at least spiritually, the sign of the cross to others. For I believe the sign of the cross is our boundary. Jesus' response is amazing. But when abused, he did not return abuse. I mean, that's the natural desire. When abused, you return abuse. Not Jesus. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He didn't respond. He didn't yell and scream. No. He did not threaten, but committed it to the one who judges justly. And then what did he do? He himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. That free from sin. The original there reads a little bit better, dead or loosed from sin. Wow. Dead to sin. We might live for God's righteousness. God's lining up of the boundaries in our lives. Carol has different boundaries than Price. Who has different boundaries from Tom and Ron and Paula? God's boundaries for you may not be God's boundaries for your neighbor specifically, but they are always governed by the boundary of the cross. By the boundary of the cross on which Jesus died for you and me. Give thanks and praise to God that God gives us the boundary of the cross, the dikaiosune, the dikaio, the righteousness that God has for each of us to live. And then commit yourself to the shepherd and guardian of your soul.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.